राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा राम रामा हरे हरे, जयो राधा वल्लभ, राधा वल्लभ श्री राधे, जयो जगन्नाथा जगन्नाथा बलदेवा, जयो सुभद्रा जयो गौरानिताय 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 जयो गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जयो गौर जयो जयो प्रभुपाद 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 जयो जयो प्रभुपाद श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुधीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः
Hare Krishna, welcome all of you for today's discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 4, titled as Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. And we are supposed to read 27. 27 has just got a translation, we'll do 27 and 28.
Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः सवा आशु विनाशति सवा आशु विनश्यति यदा देवेषु वेदेषु गोषु विप्रेषु साधुषु धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः सवा आशु विनश्यति यदा देवेषु वेदेषु गोषु विप्रेषु साधुषु धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः सवा आशु विनश्यति
प्रभु जी
यथा देव
You
यदा देवेषु वेदेषु
साधुषु धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः स वा आशु विनश्यति यदा देवेषु वेदेषु गोषु विप्रेषु साधुषु धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः यता देवेषु वेदेषु गोषु विप्रेषु साधुषु धर्मे मयि च विद्वेषः स आशु विनश्यति माताजि यदा देवेषु वेदेषु word to word yada when deveshu unto the demigods vedeshu unto the vedic scriptures goshu unto the cows vipreshu unto the brahmanas sadhushu unto the saintly persons dharme unto religious principles Mai, unto me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cha, and Vidveshaha, envious, Saha, such a person, Vai, indeed, Ashu, very soon, Vinashyati, is vanquished. Translation, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Vedas which give all knowledge of the cows, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. 28. Nirvairaya prashantaya swasutaya mahatmane prahradaya yada druhyed dhanishye piva varorjitam. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlada, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Of all sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or a Vaishnava is the most severe. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is so disastrous that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters a garden and causes great havoc by uprooting many plants and trees. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, his offenses uproot all his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnava aparadha or offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Here, the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlada Maharaja, his own son. A Vaishnava like Prahlada Maharaja is described herein as a Nirvaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-21, it is said, Ajata Shatrava Shantaha Sadavaha Sadubhushanaha. A devotee has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures and all his characteristics are sublime. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone. But if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities, but here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlada Maharaja, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, and whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished. Whew, that's a heavy purport. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yam Pravrajantam Anupetam Anupeta Krityam Dvaipayana Viraha Katara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobhinedu Stham Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi. This is just a prayer to pray to Srila Shukadev Goswami before we begin discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. It is verse number 1, 2, 2. So we can see Prabhupada's mood in this purport. Actually, this chapter we saw Hiranyakashipu has started tormenting the devatas, and now the Lord is speaking through Ashariravani. Means a voice has appeared from the sky. Very typical from the Abrahamic practices when the Moses heard the voice and the inscriptions of the Ten Commandments. So similarly, there's a voice from the sky and the Lord is speaking to the devatas. Devatas are the parshads or the confidential servitors of the Lord because they manage the material affairs on behalf of the Lord. They are representatives of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the translation of the previous verse, when one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when one becomes envious of all of these, who? Devatas, the scriptures, who gives all knowledge of the cows, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of the Supreme Lord, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. Now, the Lord is saying, Yada Deveshu Vidveshaha. Vidveshaha means Viparita Dveshaha. Vidveshaha. Dvesha means envious. Prabhupada translates as enviousness or hatred. Hatred comes because of envy. So Prabhupada translates Vidveshaha as envious. Sava Ashu Vinashyati. I will destroy them and their religion. Now, both these verses are very much related in a sense that if we meditate, the devatas have a very important role to play in this material affairs. Actually, they also have an important role to play in our own body, because our body also is controlled by the devatas. Just like as I'm speaking, there is Agni sitting in the tongue and there is Varuna sitting as taste. The tongue and Varuna, Agni and Varuna sit in the tongue. So Agni is the primary deity which makes me speak. Similarly, the mind is controlled by Lord Shiva, Buddhi is controlled by Lord Brahma or the Vak Devata, Saraswati. So like this, the devatas, my hands are controlled by Indra. So like this, the devatas are enabling us to serve the Lord by using this body in his service. Any disrespect or enviousness to these devatas will actually create our own destruction. Therefore, we have to be very careful not to offend these Vaishnavas because of them we do bhakti. So therefore, we need to express our gratitude to all the Vaishnavas, in fact. And we will see Prabhupada writes and quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in the verse number 28. In fact, Krishna says in the third chapter, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparam bhavayantah shreyah paramam param avapsyatha. One has to be living in cooperation. The men and the devatas have to live in cooperation in the ultimate pursuit of achieving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, we have to be careful. But here we see Hiranyakashipu, because of his power, he has overruled. He has become so powerful that he has his presence in the Devaloka now. He is enjoying the luxury of the Devaloka. He has got rid of Indra. And all the three worlds, Hiranyakashipu is ruling now. So, in one sense, he has become fearless to a certain extent. Now, what happens when someone offends the devatas? That is why there are two classes, Sura and Asura. Sura means those who are saintly minded. So, in here, devatas are also considered as the Suras. When one offends the devatas, immediately what happens, dosha buddhi starts creeping in the hearts of anyone. If you see, Hiranyakashipu has done tapasya for such a long time. Someone who has meditated for such a long time, how can he be so terrorizing? That is because of his heinous mentality towards all of these. In the translation, Prabhupada writes, to the devatas, to the saintly persons, brahmanas, vaishnavas, religious principles, and ultimately of the Supreme Lord. So because they are offensive to the devatas, there is dosha buddhi. It is said in the scriptures, especially somebody offends devatas such as Lord Shiva. Shiva is also called as Mano Abhimani Devata, or he controls the false ego. The moment somebody offends Lord Shiva, what happens is the false ego puffs up a little more, even more. And the thickness of false ego thickens up, so much so that I will think I am the Lord of all I surveyed despite doing devotional service. This is very dangerous. That's why we will see in this verse why Prabhupada takes this mood when he's speaking of Prahlad Maharaj, when the Lord is warning about Prahlad Maharaj. So it is very important to be careful not to offend the devatas. We have to be very, like when we hold the beads, we are able to hold the beads, it is because of Indra. Because of Indra, we are able to hold the beads. If we are not able to hold the beads, it's because the mercy of Indra has gone away. Of course, the mercy is from the Lord. But these are the devatas who are assisting us in to do as bhakti. We are lifting our hands and doing aarti to the Lord. We are seeing the Lord through because of Surya and Chandra. So we have to be very because of light, we are able to see. And the light is reminiscent of the power of Surya Deva. So in this way, a devotee is always expressing gratitude to everyone. And not inimical to anyone, keeping that the ultimate source of all these energies is Krishna. Not that the devatas are independent. So that's a very subtle point to remember. But before we proceed, we should also understand, before we offend a Vaishnava, we have to understand who is a Vaishnava. One can say, who is a Vaishnava? Because if you see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, when Ramananda Raya and Satrajit Khan or something like that, he asks Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the same question. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you must always serve the Vaishnavas, you must be in the association of Vaishnavas, then he asks, what are the lakshana of the Vaishnava? How do I know who is a Vaishnava? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually, in fact, in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa, it is also said, Grihita Vishnu Dikshaksho, Dikshako Vishnu Puja Paro Naraha. Vaishnavo bihito bhignair ito itaros mad avaishnavaha. One who is initiated into the Vaishnava mantra and who is devoted to worshipping Lord Vishnu, Krishna, is a Vaishnava. But one who is abhihito abhignair, one who is against all of these principles, is an avaishnava. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes, Yandra mukhe suni eka bara Krishna nama, sei pujya shrestha sabhakara. Somebody chants the name of Krishna even once, he's a Vaishnava. This is the definition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu kahe, yandra mukhe shuni ekapara Krishna nama. So Mahaprabhu has already defined who is a Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna only once is worshipable as a Vaishnava. But again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives many classifications. There's an ontology of Vaishnava, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written a book itself on the ontology of Vaishnava. He says, there are ordinary Vaishnavas, there is superior Vaishnavas, and topmost Vaishnava. Ordinary Vaishnavas, yes, Vaishnava who has chanted. Then they're all Vaishnavas who has chanted the holy name even once, he's a Vaishnava. And Krishna nama nirantara yandra vadane sei Vaishnava shrestha bhaja tanhara charane. One who is always chanting the holy name of Krishna, he is a superior Vaishnava. Okay, one level higher Vaishnava. And then the topmost Vaishnava, yanhara darshane mukhe aise Krishna nama tanhara janiha tumi Vaishnava pradhana. Just by looking at whom one begins chanting Krishna mantra, he is a superior most or the topmost Vaishnava. Means just by someone's darshana, just by someone's association, one begins chanting his prabhava, his influence is so much as just by his association one tends to chant the holy name of the Lord. He is the supermost or the superior most or the topmost or the Krishna or the pradhana Vaishnava. So this is the definition of a Vaishnava, that is one who chants the holy name only even once, he is a Vaishnava. So now with this definition, we have to also know what are his qualities. Prabhupada writes that particular verse Prabhupada mentions, because we have to understand Vaishnava through the Lakshana. One is his qualification is he's chanted the holy name even once, he is a Vaishnava. And then we should also know what are his qualities, because it's very important that we should be able to identify, just as a doctor, you know, when you go to a doctor, he sees the patient and analyzes the patient, what are his symptoms, whether he has fever, whether his nerves are palpitating too much. In the same way, there is lakshana of the devotees. What are the symptoms of a devotee? And Prabhupada quotes Kapila Muni's verse, Titikshavah karunikaha suhrda sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shantaha sadhava sadhu bhushanaha. Titikshavah. Now this word titikshava is a very interesting word. Krishna uses this word first time in Bhagavad Gita in which chapter? Tams titikshava. Bharata. He uses it in Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukadukkadaha. This Titikshava is a very interesting word, because for anyone who is embodied in this material world, he is bound to be disturbed by the three modes of material nature. It is taken. His mind, his senses, his body, always disturbs for an embodied soul. Of course, not for pure devotees, but for who is embodied and who is on a path of devotional service, of course, he realizes that he is in distress. And Krishna says, Tam Stiti Kshasva. The Abhyasa, Abhyasa Yogena Tato, Krishna says, right? What is that Abhyasa Krishna is talking about? Of course, one is devotional service. And the other side is, when the three modes are tormenting us, Titi Kshava Yoga. Learn to tolerate all of this impending forces. You learn to tolerate. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have to learn to tolerate. Sitoshna Sukha Dukkaha. Sometimes there is comfort, sometimes there is discomfort. Tolerate both. Don't be too happy or elated when there is too much comfort, and when there is less comfort, don't just start complaining. You know, usually that's what we start complaining. If there is some little problem, we start complaining. So when we come to the position of observing our own mind, we should start observing our own mind and see how our mind behaves in difficulties and how our mind behaves when there is good things. For example, have you realized when you put a rasmalai in your mouth, you'll feel so nice. When there is a distasteful karela put in your mouth, bitter melon, observe yourself how the tongue is giving the pleasure. You see, this tongue also is a very dangerous thing. The hard work is done by the 32 soldiers, the teeth. But this tongue, which doesn't even have a bone, that is dictating all the hard work done by the teeth. Is it not? The tongue is so dangerous. And the whole world is running behind this one particular organ called the tongue. Taste, you see. That is why it starts from the tongue. Jivhadav, the Shastra says. So in the same way, we have to always, and the tongue is an agent of the mind. And the mind is the boss. He's the boss sitting in the chamber, controlling the sense organs. So like that, one has to come to the position of observing the mind, and see that, okay, I'm getting very happy now. Control. That's why you see Prabhupada, in many videos you've seen, Prabhupada smiles and very quickly he becomes grave. Have you observed that? He will smile very freely and then suddenly he will become very grave. Because they are constantly observing themselves, constantly correcting themselves, constantly checking themselves, you see. Control your mind, careful. You know, very careful, very carefully treading the path. The reason is, we are talking of bhakti, the practitioner of bhakti, and what to do when we are practicing. Because these are the three principles we have to be careful of. Because bhakti is very easy to do, but at the same time, it is very risky. Why? Because when we do bhakti, what is that is granted by Krishna? What is a natural reward that Krishna gives? Or what is the most fearful thing? I gave it away. In this material world, the symptom is what? Fear, is it not? Bhai. And Prabhupada was called as Abhay, Abhay Charan. Why? When we take to the lotus feet of the Lord, the symptom is we become fearless. Is it not? We become fearless. But does that mean the devotees are always fearless? Or are they fearful? If they are fearful, what are they fearful of? Of material world? Yes. So the devotees are fearless, but they are fearful specifically for offenses. Very. And a devotee, a sincere devotee, is always, always mindful of the offenses. Although it is said, but it is very difficult. So titikshavaha is a very interesting quality of a devotee, where he tolerates. He tolerates not only his mind, he tolerates not only his senses, but he tolerates all the three miseries: adibhautika, adhyatmika, and adidaivika. All these miseries means miseries caused by one's own mind, caused by the nature, and caused by especially people around us. So that is where titikshava comes into the picture. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained these three sections of the devotees, we should also think there are three types of devotees which we all know. Devotee means what? One who can do devotional service to Krishna. One who has the adhikar to do devotional service to Krishna. And there are Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris and Uttama Adhikaris. When somebody is approaching a Kanishta Adhikari, Do you think there will be aparadh? Usually not, because you know you have compassion to the junior devotees and you express compassion. Usually, generally, there is not much of an aparadh there. When you're approaching somebody senior, somebody uttama to you, you always take instructions, you're already humble. Where does the problem of aparadh comes mostly? It usually comes when you are in the equal level. When you are seeing someone as your peer, that's when the problem comes. That's when the problem comes that, oh, I see him as my equal. Who is he to instruct me? Who is he to correct me? Who is he to surpass me? So that's why all of these problems come when I see somebody as equal. But actually, we should never see somebody as equal, because first of all, we should not even consider ourselves as a Vaishnava, acharyas say. So the problem erupts when somebody sees ourself as equal, and that's where the aparadha begins to manifest. So titikshava, one should be tolerant of all these disturbances in the mind. And then the next characteristic of a devotee is karunikaha. Karunikaha means what? To have compassion, to have mercy. Mercy to whom? Mercy to everyone. Mercy to everyone. He should be, of course, merciful to himself, that he's not too hard on himself. And at the same time, mercy to every living entity. Have you observed? I've seen in the temple, you know, when we are sitting in the temple hall, if there is a small insect somewhere, all the devotees are very apprehensive to catch the, slowly, carefully take the insect away, and you know, to take him away to the garden somewhere outside, carefully not to step on him. Why? Because the vibrations in this area is so much, they are naturally karunikaha suhrada sarvadehinam. Because the vibrations are such that, you know, when we were in Mayapur last year, probably the same time actually, when we checked into an apartment, it was a ground floor apartment in Mayapur, and when we checked in, we opened the door, and as soon as we switched on the lights, from the kitchen under the sink, at least 20 to 30 cockroaches came out. 20, 30 and more were coming in. Now, what was the general reaction? I went and I got, what is that? Hit. And I hit them all. Without thinking twice that I am in a dham and they are dhamvasis and I am just a temporary resident here. I have just come for a few weeks. And I sprayed, because everybody were complaining, the children were screaming and they were all going everywhere else. It was spreading, the army had come, army of cockroaches. And they were entering the room, everywhere, you know. And it was just a havoc. And without considering, just we ran, got the weapon, and then, you know, everything. And within no time, I finished off 20, 30, you know. And then I realized, what a blunder have I done. You know, what a blunder. I began my yatra by killing, you see. So sometimes karunika is very important. There must be some other way to do this. So Krishna creates all these challenges, you know. Adi bhautika? Challenges, no, miseries. So the cockroaches came and they were saying, hey, we are residents here, man. You have come from Melbourne, so what? I am here, I am Mayapurvasi. Why are you destroying me? You killed me. You see, so it's very difficult. Karunika always has to practice. And then I couldn't, after coming to Melbourne, I couldn't sleep for many days. That so much sins I have, I don't know how many times I have to take a cockroach life for that. Yeah, Prabhuji, but there were 20, 30 coming out. So by the time I could catch one, it was captured. So probably I should have had meditation. It was basically to say, get out of this apartment, this is ours. So like that, karuna is very important. And we've seen many times in Prabhupada's experience also, Prabhupada has asked to take out an ant, feed prasadam to an ant. So much observant Prabhupada was. So why did I do those mistakes? Because mode of passion. Very quickly we go, this is called dosha buddhi. Dosha buddhi means my apartment, my place of comfort. How dare you impede into my arena? You see, quickly finish it off. And this same mentality of killing cockroaches also expands a little bit on devotees also. It's very, very similar mentality to say, how come he is impeding my progress in devotional service? So therefore, I am a better devotee than him, and things like that. So very quickly we slip. So therefore, Pure devotees are karunikaha suhrida sarvadehinam. That's very important. Kapila Muni says, sarvadehinam. Dehi means one who is embodied. He is suhrit. He is a well-wisher of all living entities, not only humans. Many times in the other practices we see, they say animals are don't have soul, so therefore kill them and eat it. So that is not what the scriptures say. We have to be suhrit for all living entities. And then ajata shatravaha. Jata means one who is born. Shatravaha means enemy. Devotee means there is no enemy who is born for him. Ajata shatrava. There were no born enemies at all for a devotee. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj also was called as ajata shatru. He has no enemies. So how can one not have any enemies? Did Prabhupada have enemies? There were so many people inimical of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes many times in the purports, although a sadhu does not have enemies, yet there are enemies for the sadhu. They are inimical towards the sadhu, but the sadhu is never inimical to them. You see? Why? Because he is always suhridam sarvadehinam. Why? Because he takes the property of the Lord. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Shantaha. He is always peaceful. How do we become peaceful? Or why is there... why is someone not peaceful? Yeah, when they try to control. What disturbs our peace? Anger. Hankering, exactly. Because we hanker after material pleasures. When there is hankering for pleasure, that's when we become disturbed. For example, if I have to go to bed early, in my house as a grihastha, suddenly at 9 p.m. something comes up. I plan everything. At 9 p.m. I have to go to bed early because tomorrow I have to wake up the deities. I have to go to Mangalarti. Suddenly 9 p.m. something comes up. Homework for my son. Review the homework. And what happens? Disturbed. Always you bring the homework at 9 p.m. What did you do for the whole day? Blah, 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 blah. Finish. The whole night is finished. The whole day, next day also is carried off the mode of passion. This is called hankering. Where is the shanti? Ashanti only. So, why? Because I wanted to sleep early. See, it all starts there. And Krishna says, oh, you are very big sadhu, I'll test you. Simple. Kids' homework, finish. All shanti, all devotee syndrome, finish. Finished in one homework problem. Same problem is happening with this Hiranyakashipu. He's controlled all the three worlds. Indra, Chandra, Surya are all paying obeisances. But who he couldn't control? His little child. 5-year-old child, finish. Hiranyakashipu's shanti is finished. Put him in difficulty now. So Lord can put all this sadhu bhushanaha, all that real sadhu bhushana will come out, right? So shantaha, shantaha means they are never disturbed. They are always peaceful at heart because they never hanker. Why do they never hanker? They think they are not controllers. Is that the only thing? Because they carry Krishna at all times in their hearts. Their hearts are always the resident of Krishna. Tumhare hriday sada govinda vishram. When the Lord is sleeping in their hearts, in Kannada there is a very nice song. Pavadisu paramatma shri venkatesha manavimba malligeya huvahasige mele. Pavadisu paramatma shri venkatesha saptagiri vasa. So the Lord is resting always in that devotee's heart. So when the Lord is resting, he is not disturbed. It is said when Prahlad Maharaj was thrown, we will see, when he was thrown off the cliff, Prahlad was holding his heart tightly like this. And a devotee asks, was he afraid when he was rolling down the hill? Then the Acharya say, no, he was not afraid. He was thinking the Lord is resting in his heart. So the Lord should not get disturbed. So he was holding his heart tightly so that the Lord is sleeping. So even though I am tumbling, the Lord shouldn't be disturbed. So that was his mood. That was Prahlad's mood. So shantaha means always peaceful. So it's a very difficult stage to attain. But for those who worship the Lord constantly in their hearts, this is naturally attained. It is not artificially attained by gymnastics of mindfulness, artfulness, all of that. You cannot. Mindfulness, do you think you can be much more mindful than Hiranyakashipu, who did 10,000 years of tapasya? And what happened to this guy? He fell down, right? So there's no point. So therefore, in this verse, Prabhupada takes the mood of the biggest catch in bhakti. Although Prabhupada did not speak of what is Hiranyakashipu about to do, but here Prabhupada talks about offenses in bhakti or aparad. The biggest catch in bhakti is Vaishnava aparad, because bhakti can give us Krishna, but the biggest impediment for a bhakta or a practitioner of bhakta is not sins, because one time when we chant Krishna's name, all those sins can be destroyed. First thing. Second thing, how many types of aparad we can do? Maybe three types, you see. Where there is aparad to the Lord, there is aparad to the seva of the Lord, and there is Vaishnava aparad. Or in one sense, Bhagavata apachara and Asai apachara. There is apachara or aparadha. When we do aparad on the Lord, when we are doing deity worship, there is aparad of the seva, or aparad on the, while we are worshipping the Lord, all of that is even excusable when you chant the holy name, because the chanting of the holy name will actually remove that aparad. Easy. But when we do Vaishnava aparad, that is what blocks our bhakti. That freezes our bhakti. That freezes our progress in bhakti. One may ask, Prabhuji, what suppose if I do Vaishnava aparad and then do 64 rounds? Generally, people think like that. They will sit in front of the Lord. I did lot of aparad, my dear Lord. Please excuse my aparad. Please, my Lord. Actually, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Chanting of the holy name after committing aparad is another aparad. Thinking that chanting of the holy name will remove my Vaishnava aparad, that's another aparad. That's nam aparad. So Vaishnava aparad is a grievous problem in bhakti, actually. So therefore, Prabhupada makes it very important. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is such a problem that it's a mad elephant disease. And this is very important to understand, because it says Vaishnava aparad uproots. It doesn't destroy just the weeds. Because if you cut the weeds will grow again, you see. But similarly, when the Bhakti Lata beach, when the creeper of bhakti is growing, it doesn't just destroy the creeper, because creeper can grow again. But the mad elephant disease uproots the creeper of bhakti. When it uproots, our bhakti is finished. Our bhakti is finished. We see I forget the devotee's name in the Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Mangala. There is a devotee who is a disciple of the guru of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think. And he after his passing of a guru, he has a glorious guru, but he, after the passing away of the guru, he becomes very, very offensive to the devotees. Because he's very famous, he will be giving Bhagavatam classes at the banks of Ganga, and lot of devotees will come and continue to hear him. But one day, I think it is Vishnu Priya or Lakshmi Priya, one of a very nice devotee, I don't know if you remember, Prabhuji. One devotee, Mataji, will be coming and sitting in the class, and she will be chanting the holy name while he's giving Bhagavatam class. So, and she's moving her lips. So, he sees her while giving the class, and he quickly stops the class and chastises her. And he says, how come you are chanting in the Bhagavatam class? I am giving Bhagavatam. How can you do Shravanam and Kirtanam at the same time? You should either hear or you should chant. You are chanting in the class. Because that particular devotee was a very exalted personality. Because she was accustomed to do that. Because she can't stop her tongue from chanting. It is not the case of not finish 16 rounds and doing 16 rounds in the Bhagavatam class. Please don't mistake for that. This is the devotee who never can stop chanting. So, he chastises her, and she says, I'm sorry, but I can't stop my mouth from chanting. If you have possibly a solution, please let me know. I can't stop from chanting. So therefore, I want to hear, but I can't stop chanting, but I am hearing. So because he commits that offense, it is said that his body got destroyed, and he had leprosy, and he was kicked to the Kumbhipaka hell. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. He says, to hell with you, because many, many years he suffered. And after many years, he came and begged pardon with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, get lost, you rascal, you have criticized my devotee. Sorry, this is an, I'm mixing up. I think this is Shiva's Thakur's, right? I'm mixing up two things. Sorry. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not forgive such offenses. The Lord does not forgive offenses to the Vaishnavas. It is said even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is interesting, Jagai and Madhai were somehow pardoned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see? And then when Jagai and Madhai ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how come you've pardoned us? He says, I have taken all your apradhs and sins. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became blackish for a while because of their sins. And he says, anyone does Vaishnava apradh, I will give you a portion of your sins to them. Can you believe it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if we do Vaishnava apradh, we will get a portion of Jagai Madai's sins. That is how I have taken it all away, so that I can distribute it for whoever does. And that is because Nityananda Prabhu has protected you. So therefore, Vaishnava apradh is a very, very grievous problem. And this apradh is a very interesting facet, because the word aparadha means radhat arthat aradhanat apagataha. Means to obtain Krishna, how do we get Krishna? What is the process of getting Krishna? Bhakti, right? Bhakti amam abhijanati. But who is the source of bhakti? Radharani. So therefore, if I'm not connected to the source of bhakti, I cannot do bhakti of Krishna. So therefore, and that source of connection to Radharani comes from whom? From the Vaishnavas. From Vaishnavas only I can connect to Radharani. So if I offend the same Vaishnavas, therefore my connection to the source is cut. Radhat aradhanat apagataha. So that means my connection to Radharani is cut. So therefore, if the connection to Radharani is cut, I cannot do bhakti to Krishna. Finish. My bhakti is finished. So therefore, aparadha, that word itself, aparadha, if you break down that word, padavichyad, you can see. So therefore, it is very important for a devotee to understand, we should be very careful of committing offenses. And it's a very deep topic also, we can go on discussing this. But from a practical front, how do we stop this aparadha? How do we be careful of this aparadha? Acharyas say, one important aspect is to cultivate the amanitvam adambitvam, humility, pridelessness. The 12 Vaishnava qualities, the first one is amanitvam adambitvam, that is pridelessness and humility. Many times, even in the devotional circles, we mistake humility to become formally humble. Have you noticed that? Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji. But we know it is becoming very formal, because in the material world we are used to it. Good morning, sir, and good morning, hi, how are you, good morning, you know, all that artificial expressions of friendliness we are used to in the material world. Because of that same buddhi, if we bring it into devotional practice also. And it is not only criticism of Vaishnavas, there are many other, it is not only Vaishnava Ninda, even talking ill of a Vaishnava, that is also Vaishnava Aparadha. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to give what? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to give? Yeah, he came to give love of Lord, love of Godhead. That same Krishna Prema, he was giving it to everyone, free of cost. He was saying, somebody used to come, and those days, you know, they used to come and ask for Krishna Prema, not for, you know, mortgage payment, etc., etc. They used to come, not for Melbourne High, that school, this school admission for children, good girl for my boy, good boy for my girl, good marriage. No. They used to come, you know, my son is not chanting, can you give him Krishna Prema? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, so be it, give him Krishna Prema. Everyone, one and all. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give Krishna Prema to one person. Who was that? Sachi Mata, his own mother. His own mother he did not give Krishna Prema. Why? Did she offend Advaita Acharya? Huh? In the mind, she did not even offend, but she thought, Vishwambara has left and now Nimoy also will leave because of this influence, this Dadiwala Baba, which is Advaita Acharya. Now this Dadiwala Babaji will come and take my Nimoy also. Vishwambara has left the house, Nimoy also will leave. So what do I do? She only thought like that. And because the Supreme Lord is, you know, Hridyantastho, he is there in all of the hearts, he knew Sachimata thought like that of Advaita Acharya, and he said, as long as you ask excuse from Advaita Acharya, I will not pardon you. So he did not give Krishna Prem to Sachimata. So, and we know the pastime, right? Advaita Acharya comes running and they say Krishna Prem is not been given to Sachimata. The devotee is expressed, Shivas Pandit expresses, and Advaita Acharya becomes, he says, she is Yashoda Mai herself. How can I put my dust of the lotus? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you should take the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya on your head, only then I will give you Krishna Prem. And Advaita Acharya is shocked now, because this is Yashoda Mai. This, because for Advaita Acharya, Sachimata is worshipable. I only begged and you took, you appeared, Lord, in the womb of Sachimata. Such worshipable is Sachimata. How can I do that? And he falls unconscious. And then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees, you know, they indicate Sachimata, and then she takes the blessings of Advaita Acharya. So, although this seems very dramatic, you know, we say in Australia, no dramas. It seems quite dramatic, isn't it? But Vaishnavism is like that. Vaishnavism is very subtle. It's because in today's world, our emotions have become grossified. We become too gross. Our lives have become very gross due to many isms. You know, you've seen those isms, Hinduism, that ism, this ism, feminism, altruism. All these isms have made us very, very gross. So therefore, we cannot observe the subtleties of these emotion exchanges that we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is all going on in my mind, although probably you all are on that platform, but I sometimes feel it is very dramatic, actually. But it is, one has to become so emotional. So therefore, the way to avoid aparadha is to take a humble stance. And it will only happen, I know, when I was sitting in the class many years ago in my Bhakti Shastri class, probably, I asked, because I was hearing this about Vaishnava Aparad, and I was thinking, I don't do any Vaishnava Aparad. But that was because probably I had not come near the temple then. But now it's been 5 years since I've come near the temple. Now I'm dealing with devotees closely. I'm more closer to the devotees. Now I'm able to understand the possibility of Vaishnava Aparad. Because when you are not too much close to devotees, Vaishnava Aparad might not happen, because you are not exposing yourself and your mind too much to the congregation. But when you are amidst the devotees, that's when that ferocious demoniac mind will play up, and that's when the Vaishnava Aparad can happen in the mind, and then how it manifests outside as actions and words. So this will happen when we become close to devotees. Vaishnava Aparad will happen but we cannot avoid becoming closer to devotees. That is how we progress in bhakti. So it's a double-edged sword. You want to become close to devotees, but at the same time it will cut if you don't handle the sword properly, you see. So so that is how we have to, kshurasya dharaha. Bhakti is like walking on a double-edged sword, you know. If you don't walk, it will cut your feet. So when we walk on the path of bhakti, and especially when we do close dealings with devotees, we have to always, always, always take a humbler stance. Always take a humbler stance, so that and that the way to take this is to always find out good qualities in others, not to find dosha. Dosha buddhi means to find out what is that he's lacking. You know, this is usually in devotees when we should not find out faults in devotees. They might have thousands of faults, because this material world is full of faults. But if we keep finding faults, then there is no end to it. Problem is, when we start finding faults, that same faults will start manifesting in us. And what will happen? We will not realize that I have become that person that I am searching. I am searching faults. No? That same faulty person I will become. So very good technique is to not to find out faults. To contrary to that, to always find good in others. To say, what is that good thing I can find? Always force yourself to say, what is that good quality? Genuinely thinking, not artificially, not lip service, but genuinely thinking, wow, this quality in this person, in this devotee, is so nice. How wonderful is that quality? And one has to imbibe that quality. That is very important for a devotee to imbibe, actually to learn. And of course, based on the role that you play in the practice of devotion, sometimes you're a Bhakti Vriksha leader, sometimes you're an administrator, you have to play of correcting devotees. So there also you have to be careful not to correct with an intention that I'm superior to you, but with an intent as a seva. So there should always be seva bhav. When there is seva bhav, then we know that we are doing it to please the Lord, not to please our ahankar or our false ego. So this is one aspect of how we can overcome Vaishnava Aparadha, in which I am meditating on myself. So as I said, this is only, I'm only speaking for my own upliftment and nothing that I'm preaching to you all. But I thought it is a good way to start with humility, to say let us be humble, not find faults with devotees, but always constantly find glorification or find good traits in devotees genuinely. Then what will happen? Those good traits will start manifesting in us. So therefore we can be an epitome of example to everyone around the society, because it's very important to that this society has to sustain for next 10,000 years. So it starts, the charity begins at home, that means our own minds. So I'll stop here. Thank you everyone for eagerly lending your ear and helping me to read Bhagavatam and discuss Bhagavatam. If there are any questions, comments or corrections, we can discuss for a while. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hi, Krishna. Thanks so much for the wonderful class. In the pastime of Rupa Goswami, when he was meditating, and there was a neophyte devotee who felt offended from Rupa Goswami because he didn't greet him or host him, and then Rupa Goswami's meditation actually broke. So in that instance, Rupa Goswami, he ended up hosting a big feast and trying to find out who was the actual devotee that he offended. But in the practical sense, in our case, where we, especially if you're around the temple, you meet so many devotees and you don't know who you offended, and you can't really, I guess, you know, create such a, I guess, a circumstance to find that devotee. So how do we practically overcome that kind of situations?
It's a difficult question, probably. I think the aspect of Suhrdam Sarvadehinam, if we start imbibing these qualities, Suhrdam Sarvadehinam, I know one devotee in our congregation, he comes to Mangalarti every day, you know whom I'm talking of. He has his habit that every night he writes his interactions before going to bed, that I met this person, I met this person, I learned this person. So somewhere if he feels he for example, one person got burnt while cooking in the kitchen. And he said, I got burnt because I was not cooking in the proper mode, and Krishna and Radharani immediately taught me a lesson. So they began to think, where did I commit an offense? Maybe I've done this, maybe I've done this. Maybe. So similarly, a devotee, when he sees his devotional practice is going down, how do I know I'm doing Vaishnava Aparadha? How will I know I'm doing Vaishnava Aparadha? Correct. That's the check. The moment I know I can't sit in one place and chant 16 rounds in one go, I'm doing Vaishnava Aparadha. If I'm not able to sit and chant Hare Krishna for 16 rounds, and my body is aching, my mind is saying, your legs are aching, you do this, you do that, you put Prabhupada's chanting, then chant like this, sit there and chant. This is disturbance. That means you don't want to chant. And your mind will give you a million reasons to not to chant in one place and chant. Disturbs. And their mind will try to freak you out in so many ways. So test is, when I'm losing taste in chanting, that means I've done some offenses. So then immediately we have to recollect, maybe then whomever we have met, we should start building personal relationship with them and serve them. And that's what Rupa Goswami did. He was serving everyone, probably because to find out whom he offended. As long as I have that mentality and cultivate that I did a mistake and I want to, this is unknown aparadha, right? Not that I did knowingly, but unknowingly it happens. One is prayaschitta in the heart, that I did a mistake, I'm sorry my dear Lord, I don't know whom I offended. And maybe in the next dealings I'll be careful, whomever I meet. because we meet devotees regularly. But if you have done to someone who has occasionally come unknowingly, that's fine. But you're doing it every time regularly, then it's measurable. But these kind of offenses which we have done, then we have to ask the Lord. Unknowingly, I commit many offenses. Right? We do the chanting offenses, 10 offenses we read. So unknowingly we might commit offenses, then we have to ask the Lord. That's why we pay vanchakalpa. When we pay vanchakalpa tarubhyasya in the morning, the whole purpose of that doing that particular activity is that unknowingly I might have offended so many devotees. In that case, my dear Lord and Vaishnavas, please excuse us. My dear Acharyas, it is said, even our Guru cannot protect us if we do Vaishnava Prad. The Lord also will not protect. Guru also will not protect. The Guru will say, you go and beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava. That is how it is. Because even Prabhupada demonstrated, if you read, Prabhupada was on his last Leela, time of his Leela, he was asking forgiveness from everyone. Is it not so? The Acharyas also demonstrate to us. So I think that is one technique where we can adopt to write down whom I met, where I did something wrong, and if it's one off, I ask forgiveness to the Lord. And generally when we pay obeisances and vanchakalpa tarubhyascha, that is one way, Prabhuji, I feel. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Ru, for wonderful class. My question is, like, as we learn, like, titikshva, be tolerant. So how to differentiate, like, we are developing this quality tolerance, not the inferiority complex? Because sometimes I feel many devotees, yeah, they say, I'm tolerant, and,
yeah,
and suddenly they burst out. And so,
yeah,
so how to understand we're not developing inferiority complex, but we're developing this quality,
yeah,
tolerance?
Generally, I was meditating on this particular question. I was meditating on this particular feature, quality. Generally, when we serve the devotees, we serve with an ulterior motive most of the times. What can I get out of this devotee? That is the problem. As long as the service is niswartha seva, as long as the service is charanam bhujam harer, for the pleasure of the Lord, as long as the service is mama bhuta prasannatma, when the living entities are always, may you be pleased, may all your parshad be pleased, and seva is done only for the purpose of seva, that may you be pleased, my dear Lord, may your devotees be pleased, my dear Lord, then what happens? I am not expecting anything in return. So therefore, there are very few less chances that I might get impatient. But if I go with an ulterior motive, and when that ulterior motive is not met, then I served this devotee so much and I did not get what I wanted. So what will happen? Dosha buddhi will start creeping in because I'm expecting something in return. So that is not seva, it is business still, in a puristic sense. For example, I'm serving some senior Vaishnavas. I was hearing this. One disciple got angry on a spiritual master. You know why? He said, I called my spiritual master to a wedding and my spiritual master did not come. And he became sad. Why? Because he was desiring that the spiritual master do his seva. Seva buddhi. That, not that I should serve spiritual master. I have invited spiritual master to come to my wedding. And then he did not come. So therefore I will go on blaspheming whom? My spiritual master itself. He started saying, spiritual master koi donation deta hai toh he will go. Can you imagine? He started saying, if there are some donation functions, Maharaj will go. But if my wedding, I only marry once in a lifetime. Maharaj did not come. So what happened? He started offending his spiritual master. Why? He began... He invited a spiritual master with what intent? To get served. That inviting spiritual master is not wrong. The intention with why you serve is wrong. Very subtle. Very subtle. No? Why am I inviting Vaishnavas to my house? Intention. What's your intention? Whatever our intention is, you will meet with that end. Lord's creation, ever, Prabhupada says, Maya is so complex, you will get entangled evermore in our complexities. We cannot defeat Maya. Yet mind is very treacherous. So if I intend to associate for some ulterior motives apart from getting Krishna, I will get that. I will not get Krishna. So this is my understanding, Prabhuji. So every time, at least I sometimes we meditate. I discuss this with my mentors. What is the intention of my associating? My associating is to show my pratibha. Sometimes we go and have reading sessions. Am I going there to show how good, well-read I am? Or I am going there to absorb their association? Or I am going there to serve them? If that mood is there, and always pray to the Lord, protect me, my dear Lord, so that I am always serving the devotees. I am always in the service of the lotus feet of the devotees. Because we do not know when, because of our conditioning will take over, and when we will do these faults. Very difficult. So, that's my understanding, Prabhuji. Therefore, you will see sometimes in the dealings, a devotee will become restless and agitated and revolting because he has come with an ulterior motive. And if the devotee who is mentoring him will understand it. This happens usually in the Bhakti Vriksha programs. We understand, oh, this person has an ulterior motive. Then we try to, the mentor will take it in a different way. Then he will please him. And you know this, we see in Bhakta Bhavan how Nityananda Prabhupada does it, you know. So, we learn how to deal with, and it's not wrong, it's his conditioning. Therefore, we don't criticize that devotee also who's done that. We don't criticize him. It is just his conditioning. So, oh, okay, it is his conditioning coming out. Okay, let us pacify him in some other way. So the devotee pacifies him and then, you know, gives him love. When you give him love, then he automatically melts. You see, this is what happened in the demons with Jai and Jagai Madai pastime. Because of the love of Nityananda Prabhu, they both met. Of course, Nityananda Priya also Nityananda. So, Nityananda, because of the love of Nityananda, they both melted. You see, seeing the love, the Lord wanted to chop off their head, but the devotee's love melted them. So, in the same way, even if somebody revolts, we should show compassion. That is Karunika. That is why Titikshavaha, sometimes Titikshavaha backfires, Karunikaha. Express karunika, express mercy, because we know he's troubled by maya, you know he's troubled by conditioning. So express mercy, give them mercy. If I also become agitated, then I'm also on the same boat. Then ho gaya. Dono ka narak mein thelam thela. Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.